Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Jenny Hallam. Jenny, it's good to see you again.
And you too.
Now, Jenny Hallam was a primary school teacher. She is now a personal development and mental toughness coach and the proud owner of a new business to help women decompress and unwind in this stressful world. Now, Jenny, you changed the course of your own life completely after you suffered a crippling adult meningitis bout. Do you want to share what happened?
Yes, I was very stressed for all kinds of reasons. And I think sometimes the universe sends you things because you really need them. So it sent me meningitis. It was viral meningitis, which is not the worst kind. And the point about it was that it wasn't actually the meningitis that did the crippling. It was the after effects, as in a few months afterwards, I found myself unable to walk. And that was because I'd got a bacterial infection in my spine, which came about through the lumbar puncture. So having recovered from one very serious illness, I ended up in hospital with another one that had been misdiagnosed, so that it had progressed. And I had this infection spreading up my spine, and people saying to me, oh, you might not recover from this, you might not be able to walk again, which is a bit of a shock. I was in my 40s at the time, and I had a young child, and I was the main breadwinner of the family. So it was pretty challenging, to be honest.
But friends guided you, didn't they? Your life changed direction through self-help books and gave you a bit of a vision of what you wanted to do in your life. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, what happened was that I think I discovered at that point how powerful I really was, because I had to get better. There was no question that I had to get better. It wasn't a case of if I walked again. It was a case of I must walk again. I'm going to walk again. So I was doing everything I possibly could to help myself, reading, as you say, self-help books and so on. And I found a question in one of them that said, what would you do if you had £1 million? Now, this was some time ago, so £1 million was enough then to really change your life. And I obviously I had loads of time on my hands because I was stuck in hospital, so I spent ages writing about what I would do and visualizing this future. And then I showed it to friends, and they said, well, that's coaching, Jenny, and that's what you've been doing for us for years, and we've sometimes wondered why you didn't. I'm thinking, okay, you could have said that to me before, but now is the time, now's the right time. So I determined that A, I was going to get better, and that as and when I got better, I was going to start building towards this future that I'd imagined. Obviously, nobody did give me £1 million, but when you do something like that, you realise that the germ of the thing is something you can do anyway. So that was what I did, and changed my life.
Definitely. And you changed your mindset, and you're helping people to do that now, aren't you? And as you said, the book, your vision was the passion to help women re-energize, rejuvenate and regenerate by building a retreat. You've bought a business doing exactly that, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, I've been coaching professionally now for 12 years, and my biggest passion in all that time has been coaching women. I've done lots of different other things, but that's been the core passion. For the last 4 or 5 years, I've been involved with a business called Her Invitation. And in the last few months, I've bought that business. It is a business about female empowerment, focused on helping women, especially professional women and business women, to recognize how they give their power away and how they can reclaim it and live life on their terms. I have a vision for the business going forward, which is about expanding into a community of women. I'd love it to be an international community of women supporting each other through all aspects of their lives. And I'm particularly interested in what I suppose you'd call the more personal challenges that women go through alongside their careers, because I don't see work and life as separate. And I think the life experience that I've had and the life experience of many of the women I know shows how big an impact what's going on to you, for you personally, can have on your career and on your business. So we need to address everything. So yeah, it's all about helping women to live the lives they really want to live and be the women that they're meant to be.
Well, congratulations, and we look forward to hearing more about that. And we don't need a £1 million. We can just all come to your retreat. So you trained in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, after being so ill, became a coach to help others with what you describe as emotionally charged workshops and share stories of truth.
Yes, very much so. I think we, especially women, we need to be sharing our truth. We need to be talking about the things that don't get talked about. And that goes through the whole range from professionally, you know, how we actually sabotage ourselves in the world of work, how the cultural conditioning that we've been through as little girls perpetuates myths that we go on living, but also the issues that we have behind closed doors. And I think that there are very many women out there who are effectively living a lie. And that's what's so important to overcome. When I say that, I mean they have lives which look to the outside very nice. They have the trappings of what others may see as success and comfort, but their real lives are not like that. Their emotional lives are not like that. And they are emotionally disempowered, even though they may seem powerful in other ways. And I think this is alongside very many wonderful things that have happened in the last few years. I mean, we're now speaking about mental health openly. There's far more discussion about issues that 20 years ago people would have been worried talking about. We have an openness about sexuality much more than we've ever had. Somehow or other, this thing is still going on. The women who are keeping quiet about what's really happening in their lives and the impact that that has on their careers, which is one of the many reasons why women are still not represented as they should be in businesses, on boards, in public life. Why aren't they there as they should be? All of this is tied in. So I'm on a bit of a mission here.
Well, that's so true and so relevant, though, isn't it? And so many people are questioning even themselves as to why they're not happy, because they've got that security and the comfort and the money and the trappings and the lifestyle, but they're not fulfilled, are they? So you're helping them through that change find their way back, really. Again, it's back to finding their truth, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about authenticity. At our best, all of us, at our most effective, powerful in the true sense of the word, when we're telling the truth. If you look at people who are, I'd say, the happiest people, you know, the people who seem to be always sparkling with excitement about life, and they are real. They're very real people. That's the key to it, is that it's coming from their truth. They've found their truth. They're doing what they're meant to be doing. They're doing what they love. They're living life on their terms. They're not compromising. And we all have the choice to do that. It's very easy for people to create, well, you can find reasons for anything. So to create a whole plethora of reasons why I can't do that. I can't do that. But everybody can. It's just a decision. And that's what empowerment really is. This is nothing to do with shoulder pads and or muscles. It's to do with the emotional resilience and inner strength and belief in yourself that allows you to take the right decisions, stay calm, speak your truth, and make stuff happen.
Brilliant. I think that will really resonate with a lot of women, actually, and, you know, a lot that you and I know, and things that people are going through. So the power of how you talk to yourself and belief system, you've talked to me about before, in terms of it really masters all, doesn't it, in terms of how you even speak to yourself and the words you commonly use, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And in fact, this is, in many ways, this is the key to everything. From when you're very, very young, you start to code experience in language. And that becomes embedded subconsciously. So we're just telling ourselves things all the time without even realizing that we are. And a lot of that stuff is negative. So the steps in the process of changing it, first of all, to become conscious of what you're saying to you, because of course what you're saying to you is also what you say to others, not only in words, but through your behavior. So what you're thinking is always driving your behavior. And every day we muck something up through that process, through just listening to what's going on in your head. You know, I can't do that. I'm no good at that. I'm too old, fat, stupid, or what other cruel words we're using to ourselves to do this thing. And I think almost everyone I've coached over the years, men and women, I've discovered has been doing something on those lines that has been getting in their way. 9 times out of 10, you can shift that by changing the words that you're saying to yourself and doing that regularly.
Isn't that amazing? And people aren't even aware, are they, until you sit and chat to them. So for people that want to change their life, whether they're stuck in a dead-end relationship or hating work, whatever it is, how do they get the strength and the confidence to cope? I mean, it's not easy, you know, a roller coaster of feelings and, you know, humans being averse to change.
Not an easy question to answer in a few words. I may well write a book about this, but I think it starts with just taking that little bit of time out to focus on what you don't want. Because when you're really clear about what you don't want, and a lot of people, if you ask them to sit down and make a list of what they don't want or they don't like in their life, they'd probably be flying quicker on that than they would if you said, what do you want? So when you say to somebody, what do you want? I'm not sure. But people know what they don't want for sure.
And that's the answer then, isn't it?
Yeah. And so when you get clear on what you don't want, then it becomes much easier to see what you do want. So I don't want to be stuck in this relationship. Okay, so what that means is I want to get out of it. So if I got out of it, what would I like? What would I like my life to be like? And that's where things like that question in the book help, because what we all do at that point is we put limitations. Oh yeah, but I can't imagine what it would be like being out of this situation because I couldn't afford to get out of this situation, and this, I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that. You can put all that aside and just imagine, but if I could, what would I do? What would it be like? And then you start to build that up and show yourself that it's possible. And I think the key to all of it is knowing that pretty well anything you want to change, you can change, because it starts in your head. Everything starts in your head.
So we're giving the people tools here, or you are, in terms of, you know, call Jenny, get her to change your life. So can we talk on, you had a difficult school life, and is that where your first coping strategies came from, do you think? You were bullied at school, which made you want to continue speaking the truth, didn't it? Is that okay to talk about?
Yeah, of course it is, absolutely. And I think, again, this is why telling the truth about our experiences matters so much. So every time I tell the story of how I was bullied at school, and so basically I was rejected by all of my classmates and nobody would speak to me, and it was a horrendous experience for a child of, what, not 12. But what it did make me realise very strongly was that happened because I was telling the truth, and that I had a choice in life at that point. Was I going to tell lies, or was I going to stick with telling the truth? Was I going to be me and risk rejection, or was I going to fit in? I made the choice to be me and tell the truth, and I always have. And the other thing it taught me was the importance to people of belonging and feeling part of something and being listened to. So all of the work that I've done in the rest of my life, and as you've pointed out, a lot of that was in education, has been about making sure that people are heard, and that individuality is recognised, and that people are empowered, all ages. It doesn't matter whether you're 7 or 70. Empowerment is still about that. It's about being in touch with who you are, knowing what you want, and having that strength and courage to speak out and be you.
And a lot of these experiences, you know, that you've been through, whether health-wise or school-wise, have created these opportunities later on, haven't they, for you?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the good things about looking back on your life when you've been around a few years, is that you see those patterns and you see how the things that felt like adversity at the time, even the worst things, happened in order to show you a different way of being. I'm very, the big baddies that have happened in my life, and obviously the illness was a huge one, but I've been through divorce, I've been through redundancy, and looking back now, I know that all of those things happened to show me a different path that at the time was the best path, and it taught me things, and it's left me with more resources as a person than I would ever have had otherwise.
So you see them as gifts now, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's always the way of looking at life, is that whatever you're being given in the moment is going to be, it is a gift in some way, because it's there for learning. And nothing that's happened to me, even the worst things, has proved to be anything else. And it's all in attitude. Everything is what you make it. It isn't what happens to you. It's how you respond to it and what you make of it. So if you choose to make it an opportunity, I do a lot of work with people who've been made redundant, people off in very senior roles who may have been working for long periods of time. And redundancy is one of those choices. You know, it can be a gift, because it can allow you to take that step back that it's so hard to do when you're in your work, and say, well, actually, what do I want now? And it's particularly a gift if it happens when you're in midlife, because lots of people in midlife do get to the point where they're thinking, oh, is this all there is?
But we don't think that, do we?
Oh, no. Well, I'm privileged because I do work that I absolutely love. So concepts like retirement do not appeal to me at all. I plan to carry on doing what I'm doing and until I drop, because I love it. And I like to help as many other women as I can to be in that kind of position. I mean, it's not going to be work for everyone. I'm very passionate about my work. Not everybody wants to be doing that, but it's just living a life that makes you feel, I'm excited to get up in the morning and I've got loads of things that I want to do. So, you know, please let me live till I'm 100 at least.
There we are. And we're doing everything so that you can. So emotional resilience and mental toughness training are a key part of your therapy too, aren't they, in terms of encouraging people to be stronger mentally?
The idea of mental toughness, it sounds quite a hard thing, but it is about that thing I said before about it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. And the response is a choice, and you can build your mental strength and emotional strength in the same way as you can build your physical strength. It's like going to the gym. You know, if your stomach muscles aren't working like you want them to, you go and put them on a exercise regime. But if you want to keep that up, if you want to keep them in good condition, you have to keep exercising them.
So it's like mindset training and belief training, isn't it, that you sort of encourage people through a process, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. There are things that you can do to make radical change quickly. So shift big, nasty beliefs that you don't want anymore, that don't serve you anymore. But there are also things that you can do that are little things you do every day that just will make a massive difference. And they're cumulative. So if you're doing those things every day, and it can be as little as a minute in the morning. But if you do it at the beginning of every day, if and when the bad days come, you know, the bad things happen in a day, your ability to deal with that and to get to the next point after it in a positive way is so much, it's much more fluid. You just learn to flow within that emotional resilience. It becomes like a muscle that's been well worked. It will work for you.
Exactly. So people have to believe in this. So which strong men or women have inspired you then, Jenny?
Oh, there's an interesting one. Well, I do actually have to say my mother. My mother was, she died last year, and she was 90, and she died very fast of an illness that nobody knew she had. And when she was told that she was dying, she had 3 or 4 weeks to live. She said, "Oh, well, I've had a great fun life. I've really enjoyed myself. I've done lots of things." And she says, "Does this mean I can have anything I want now?" And the people in the hospital said yes. And I said, "Okay, can I have a gin and tonic then?"
Yes,
and that kind of attitude. Now, she wasn't always an easy person to have as a mother. She could be very challenging. But her attitude to life was always that make the best of it. And, you know, there was a lot of pull yourself together. But that was her version, really, I suppose, of what I call mental toughness. Nothing that happened to her. And again, she went through redundancy. She went through caring for my father through cancer. Lots of not so nice things happened in her life. But she had this bounce back ability that was inspirational and annoying sometimes, but inspirational. I think in terms of maybe well-known people, Sheryl Sandberg has always been one of my icons. I think she's an amazing person, and I think she's made a massive difference to women all over the world. The lady who I've worked very closely with over the last few years, who was the original creator of Her Invitation, the company that I now own, her name is Lynette Allen. She's a women's coach, and she's now going on to do a wonderful project called A Woman's Blessing, which is all about the spiritual development of women. And she has inspired me, and I wouldn't be in the position I'm in today, either in terms of running this company, but also in my own personal development, if it wasn't for her. Because it was in one of the workshops, the Her Invitation workshops, that I discovered a key to something in myself that allowed me to speak my truth in a way that I hadn't been before. So those are three women that I'd like to say thank you to. But I think there are a lot of the women I'm most inspired by are people I meet in my everyday life. They're not people who are famous or well known. They're the women that I see dealing amazingly with day-to-day challenges. Another friend of mine called Lisa, who and her sister Sonia, her sister has a little boy with cystic fibrosis, and these two women, but especially Lisa, she's gone out there like a whirlwind and raised so much money, and now she's created a charity to raise money for children with cystic fibrosis, and it's extraordinary what she's done. And nobody gave her millions of pounds. She hasn't, you know, she's a ordinary woman, but she's doing phenomenal, extraordinary things because she has this passion and an inner resilience that just whatever happens, she won't give up. She never gives up. And I think that's what I admire most in people.
Can we talk about your passions? How do you relax and spend your time off? You're a bit of a Pilates and gym bunny, aren't you?
Yes. I think it's another thing about knowing yourself. And one of the things that happened, you know, when I was back in hospital 16 years ago, they started talking to me about the possibility of not being able to walk again. And I said, "Well, hang on a minute. What about getting back in the gym?" Because it's been a lifelong passion, or certainly an adult lifelong passion. I discovered Pilates back in my 20s, and I've been doing it ever since. And I would say that actually doing that probably also made a big difference to my recovery from that illness, because I had the core strength to physically do things with my body that I might not have been able to otherwise. When you talk about relaxing, I know myself well enough to know if I go a few days without doing anything physically, I'll get grumpy, and I don't want to be grumpy. So I have gym sessions, Pilates classes always scheduled in. And if I'm not in a context where I can do those things, then I'll be out there going for a walk or something physical. I think it helps you to stay calm. It helps you to clear your mind and get everything emotionally as well as physically just moving in your body.
Why wouldn't you?
And de-grumping at the same time. And obviously that's some of your mother coming out in you from when you were in the hospital, that you're not going to not go to the gym. It just wasn't going to happen, was it?
No, absolutely. Yes, and I can remember saying that to my mum in the last weeks. You know, we are women made of stern stuff. Powerful women in that sense. That's how I see the word powerful. It is about that determination and inner strength that nothing can stop you.
And giving women that back.
Yes, absolutely. Nobody can take it away from you unless you let them. But you can certainly get it back. You can always get it back because it's something that comes from inside. So someone may think they've taken it away from you, but they actually can't, because it's something that's recreated. It's like anything that we cut down. You know, if you cut down a tree, you cut, you know, the branches, you lop the branches of a tree and they grow again, don't they? That we're like that. We are like that.
Do you have a mantra? Now, I know you're quite into mantras and affirmations, aren't you? And you mentioned one that's on your fridge.
Oh, well, I've got quite a lot. I actually have all kinds of sources of these that I pick from every day. One of the ones that I use a lot at the moment is everything is always working out for me, because that's true. It is. Everything is always working out for me. Everything's always working out for you. You know, nothing remains static. Things are always working out, and we have an influence over how they work out, but everything is always working out. So if you remind yourself every day that everything is always working out for you, it will. Thinking, focusing on abundance. So abundance is a word that's very important to all of us in terms of how we see life. We focus a lot on lack. So I talk to myself every day about how abundance is flowing to me in every sense, because that word covers everything. It covers the practical side of life and the financial side of life. It covers love and fun and energy and beauty and all the things that we want. There's a message on my fridge that my son bought me, which says only stupid women have tidy houses, or something like that, which is very insulting to all the people with tidy houses, but it makes me laugh.
Exactly. So what's your next goal then, Jenny? You talked about the new business. That's your next goal?
Well, okay, so I'm building the new business. I'm building the coaching side and the retreat side. You know, we have two workshops, which are full-day workshops, and they're amazing. And they will continue to run all over the country with our facilitators. But the build on to that will be, from now, her invitation coaching programs. Particularly, I've developed a program called Believers, which is there specifically to help women who want to get out of those difficult relationships, the ones where they just don't want to be in there anymore, or they're in the process of getting out and it's being difficult to get out. So that's all about empowerment within that context, within the personal context. So that's something that's already exists, but I'm going to develop that further. And then I'm going to be running a retreat in July, the 7th and 8th of July, which will be in Sussex. And that will be a Love Your Life retreat. So it's very much focused on self-love, how you can really enjoy being you more and get more out of life because of that.
How lovely. Well, good luck with all of that.
Thank you very much.
Well, lovely to see you again. Lastly, what key message would you give to inspire and influence women or men? Because 25% of our audience, I believe, or even nearly 40% actually now, are men.
Okay, word to the men. We love you. This is not anti-men stuff at all, because the more women are operating in their highest level of personal effectiveness and personal power, the better it is for everybody, partners, children, everyone. We're all better when we're at our best. So this is an everyone message. And I think it's that would be my message to people is put yourself first. Look after you, because if you look after you, if you really look after you, and this is particularly a message to women, because so many women don't put themselves first for all kinds of very good reasons. But ultimately, the best thing you can do for your children, your partners, your parents, your colleagues, your employees, your business, is to look after you and to listen to yourself and what you really need and what you really want, and honour that. And then everything will work better. So love yourself.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Now, I just want to say, if anyone has been affected by bullying or something troubling them, please seek support. Or if you need help with mental toughness to cope with stress and change, then contact Jenny. The Influential Women's Podcast is presented by Nikki Bannerman and co-produced with Juliet Nichols. Please subscribe for free and keep listening for more podcast guests on our channel on Apple Podcasts, Comcast, Pocket Cast and Spotify. And we'd love a 5-star review on iTunes. And a big shout out, thank you to the Women's Radio Station for giving us the facilities to record this podcast today.